So why don't the Petters and the Laws come up? We're going to talk about our core values, things that have been a part of the branch's identity from the very beginning. And at the top of that list, I don't know how anything really else could be here, but community. So these guys, I actually dug up a picture of you two. And I almost showed it, but well, I'll post it on Facebook later. No, it's fine. These guys are going to talk about community and what it's meant to them over the years.
This isn't random, really? Yeah. Really? Feels a little random to me. A community has been a huge part of us being here. We live in Byron Center, drive by how many dozens of churches on our way here every single Sunday. And the reason that we're here, I mean, Chris, obviously you're great. JP, obviously, is a big fan. We like the music. It's the people. It's all of you that are here. That's the reason we come. And I know Chris and I have gone out to lunch. I'm like, that's why we're here. That's why we keep coming back. That's what makes the branch special. And part of that being special of some just traits are two things that Mindy is going to talk about.
Yeah, as Jason and I were talking about what we were going to say, there were two words that really came to mind, and those were authenticity and vulnerability. And these are two traits that don't just evolve overnight. They take a certain level of trust among people here and the relationships that we all have here at the branch. And we've seen this in just how people here at the branch are willing to open up their hearts and really share their lives with one another and not put on this facade that life is great and grand all the time, but they're willing to share their burdens with one another. And that has really been very meaningful to Jason and I. And there are lots of examples of this. I mean, even on Sunday mornings when Chris is preaching, there's this level of authenticity that comes out. I've witnessed it being a part of the women's Bible study a while back with women really sharing their burdens and sharing life together. I witnessed it in just conversations that I have with many of you before church, after church, and even outside of the branch and the relationships we have with many of you. I think there's just this sense of that everyone here wants to wrap their arms around each other and carry each other through whatever they're facing, and that level of for all of us to be willing to be that vulnerable really creates this really deep sense of community where authentic relationships can happen.
Cue Petter.
Trying to pass the mic here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's hard to follow up with because I was just going to say
this place is great.
This place is great. And we personally have been through a lot of crap in the past. 5, 6, 7, mostly like the past 3 years, and couldn't have done it without all of you guys. You said it perfect, like just authentically loving us and lifting us up in prayer, and I couldn't have said it better. You did a good job, and we, you know, people are a huge part of it, but God has used all of you. For all of you. Like, you can just see it and feel it, God's love moving through each other for us. And it's a really good thing.
My turn. Hard to follow up with all that. So, Mindy, Jill, Jason, everybody shared everything that I really feel. But ultimately, community, for me, in this community, gets wrapped up in rephrased as family. I couldn't trust my kids to other people. I couldn't, but when I come here, it's just, I know I'm taken care of. My family's taken care of. I've been friends with these guys. You know, we were picked to come up with the Laws. We've been friends for 15-ish years now, a long time, a couple churches, a few different houses. And through it all, whether we're here or we move away like the Duttons or the Drotts or whatever, that sense of family is always going to stay strong. So distance may separate us, but God's going to tie us all together. So I wrap community up as this is a place of family.
Thanks, guys. Give them a hand, would you? Take some guts to come up here. Hold on. Take some courage to come up here and share But hey, let's keep it going. Dave and Trina, you guys want to come on up? You guys are going to talk about mission, which has always been at the heart of the branch. It's really why the branch started, in fact, was because we wanted to help people see themselves as missionaries. What has it meant to you guys? Yeah.
You're stealing my lines.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. We should have talked more.
Dave and Trina Rookus, for those of you that don't know us, just going to say a few words about mission. Mission has been a central part of the branch since the beginning. Perhaps no greater hope from that point than that all of you people at the branch would see yourselves as partners in God's redemptive work within our community. And that's happened in a lot of different ways, a few of those ways, and shout them out, because there's a good chunk of time at the branch that we haven't been here. So since we've been here, the ways that we've seen mission played out both communally and individually, through missional communities, through groups of people having dinners with folks at Well House, through, some of you individually as families feasted on rice and beans for better part of a month or week, I don't know, and donated money to refugee families.
Bringing water today.
Kids games last summer. I know that there was points in time where there was a lot of you hosting block parties. Create, very big one. Anybody else? Come on. I'm racking my brain here. So it's cool to see families that have been called by God and have moved away. We, in a sense, kind of did the opposite and have made our way back to Grand Rapids. And Trina's going to talk a little bit more about what mission specifically means for our family.
Well, when we moved back into the area, we were looking for a church that was living it out in the neighborhood they were in and in Grand Rapids as a whole, because we came as very eager young people and wanted to get into Grand Rapids and really make a difference. So the branch was doing that. We liked what we saw. We wanted to be a part of it. And being a part of it, you people here discipled us and made us grow and realize our strengths and made us stop and listen to God and what he was telling us at this stage in our life. And at this stage of our life, we're very at home. And from that, we've heard God telling us just to invest in those right by our house. And so we've started an MC where we're discipling some of our neighbors and then just becoming family with those that live right next door to us. So that's kind of where mission has brought us at this time in our lives. And it's very different than what we thought when we first came to the branch.
Thanks be to God for continually showing us where his work needs to be done, opening doors and leading us in those directions.
There you go. Well, I won't steal anyone's thunder from this point forward. My apologies. The next value is worship, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
I'm so surprised how full my heart is today. I was actually mostly looking forward to the roller skating. For real? And so I've already cried this morning. So thank you so much for being here. What I wanted to say, my experience of the transformation worship has taken at the branch over these past 10 years, I'm just thinking of two words, and they are inclusion and extension. And when I think of inclusion, I think of the early, early, early days when we had little people with scarves like here and there and back around and always trying to figure out how our entire family, everybody could be a part of this corporate gathering, like this space in the morning. And I think of also, we had this phrase that you and Andy and others used to say very regularly, something along the lines of, like, if you're here today and this is the only day you're ever here, you are part of us. So, just like that you matter and we believe God brought you here for this day. So there was just this idea of just however you showed up, you are a part of us today. And certainly the fact that we have communion every Sunday, and you know, every Sunday, so like, it's for everyone. Like, you are welcome at this table. This is the way Jesus invites you. So it's that heart of bringing people together. And our work with the offering, I mean, we've just grown. We're you know, trying to take what we have and making sure it gets to the people and places that need it. And even trying to do that online, right? I mean, we're just trying, like, how can we get our resources together so that we can make an impact the way Jesus would call us to? And then just all the voices, right? All the voices. And it's very rare. Honestly, musicians, we love the way we sound. So when I think specifically about all the worship leaders I've worked with here at the Branch who readily and intentionally share the microphone, intentionally ask other people to lead, and Nate specifically, I mean, he more than any will develop another person and pass off the mic or pass off the lead as quickly as possible, always about developing the other person's voices. And now that we're including the kids in that, you know, like, everyone, we want us all in that. And sharing the teaching time and sharing the communion time. I mean, just, it's about everybody's voice. And I love how worship has transformed and will continue to. And then the other thing I think of is extension. And I just think that that is the way we're trying to reclaim the everyday moments and the brokenness as acts of worship. And that's what I think the community and the mission, right? I mean, that those, we're trying to really own those as acts of worship for God. How can I honor God with whatever I'm doing and whatever place I'm meeting someone? And so I'm so thankful to be worshiping God with you. I am so thankful that we have a God to worship, so that we have a rock to stand on when everything is just moving and changing and frustrating. So I give great, great gratefulness, and we praise God for who he is and how he's transformed us in our worship at the Branch.
Simplicity. This is a value that's, again, been around from the beginning. We didn't actually name it, though, until a few years ago when we kind of realized that it was something that had been there all along, but it was worth pointing out, worth calling out, and worth holding up. And so Andy and Gina actually recorded a short video for this, and let's let them speak into this value. So this one is again, just part of who we are, and it's being purposeful. That's what simplicity means, I think. It's being purposeful in what we do, and not just doing things because it's the cool thing to do or it's the thing that might get a few more people in the door, but trying to be very purposeful. You'll actually hear a lot more about that later. The last one we're going to talk about is a value. So those four that we've done, you can find them printed on our website. They're often on a table in the back on Sunday morning. They're like they are defined values for us. This last one, though, never gotten on paper, and maybe should have, and maybe still should, and it's the value of partnership. And I'm going to ask someone to come up and talk to us about that who knows about this part of the Branch's DNA really well, and that's Randy Wiener. Randy, would you come on up? A little intro, if I may. Randy has been watching and participating in the Branch from a distance for all of its 10 years. Randy was a coach to Andy and I. Randy was a coach to Andy and I in our first, I don't know, 2-3 years probably. Helped us immensely as he and I, as young mid-20-something-year-old guys who had no business to start a church, you know, we're trying to figure out how to start a church. But then as we navigated a relationship with New Life, as we navigated a relationship with Beechwood and Alas. Randy was there at those key moments, helping us figure out how to do that. And so he has a great perspective on how partnership has been a part of our DNA from the beginning. Yeah, thanks for being here, man. Good to see you.
Well, sometimes partnership, even if it isn't a value, is a necessity. And I just want to open with words from John 15. It says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And I don't know if that was a theme verse when you named this church, but it certainly has meaning to who you are and who you become. Certainly, in partnership, that's our primary partnership, right? It's the life-giving, it's the fruit-producing, it's the powerful relationship that we have with Jesus, who is the head of the church. And without it, we would just become a social agency without that power, that hope, that resurrection, that healing. But beyond that primary relationship with Jesus, the head of the church, have been these other partnerships and relationships you've had with other churches. And I just want to highlight quickly four of them. First of all, with River Tree Church, and I know there's some people here from River Tree here this morning. River Tree was your mother, gave birth to you, a young mom, about 8 years old when you were born, and what soon became a reversal of roles in that River Tree, shortly after you were birthed, had some internal problems of their own, some real challenges that they went through. And with Chris and Andy's tight connection with that mother church, they got involved in a kind of a reverse generational, cross-generational relationship. And it's really cool today to know that you have a sibling relationship, in a sense, with River Tree as you share ministries back and forth. The second relationship, as Chris has mentioned, is here with New Life, who at the time you started here owned and operated and existed here in this building. This was more a cross-generational relationship in the other direction, working with a grandparent. Now, just imagine with me for a moment, if you're 20 years old and you go to live with your grandparents, and they're like 75, 80 years old, and you're going to move into their house, and they've given you some freedom to make some changes. This house that, since your childhood, has never changed. And you walk in there, and you paint the walls a different color, and you hang different things on the wall. And in the refrigerator now, there's craft beer and hummus, which has never occupied that refrigerator before. The music that you're playing is different than what they would normally play. The way you dress, the time you get up in the morning, the time you go to bed at night. You've replaced their tube television and VCR with a widescreen HDTV, and you got Hulu and Netflix playing, and they don't know how to run this big remote control that you have. And you have friends over who are of your generation as well. Just imagine the complexity of all that, living in their house. And that's basically what you did here. You gave birth here in this congregation where you did change the color of the walls. You changed the furniture. You took out the living room furniture and pews and brought in chairs and changed the what's hanging on the walls and the signage and the music and the style and basically everything. And that doesn't happen without lots of communication, negotiation, compromising, and gracious listening to one another. You've been masters at that. And then you turn from being a guest to being a tenant to eventually being the landowner, and New Life was your guest. All of those transitions you navigated during that season. But when New Life closed, you recognize that your value is not in identifying around a building, that you've always been people, as you've already been mentioning, community and community outside of this building. So this land ownership thing just didn't fit. And you were willing to become a tenant again. And so partnership with Beechwood and Alice Connection. This time, it was not a cross-generational relationship that you had, but a cross-cultural relationship that you had entered into with Alice. And gave up the rights of ownership and control as you did so. And now, more recently, one more cross-cultural relationship with the Nepalese-speaking congregation that also worships in this space. And some of these have not, they're branches that have grown together. Some have been grafted on, and that's not an easy thing to do. but it's all been part of your history. So I just wanted to say you've been masters at managing relationships and transitions. And as a classis, which is a family of churches of which you're a part, there's about 50 of them, we honor and respect you for the way that you have done that at such a young age. And during this past decade, we celebrate you with you, what you have meant in your ministry to this neighborhood around here, but to the greater church as well. So thanks and congratulations.
A fantastic account of, seriously, that was great. Okay, so that's looking back. And how do you look back on 10 years in a short period of time and do it meaningfully? Well, I think we actually just did it. But there's so much more that could be said, right? And we'll have to save that for the cake afterwards, and we'll have to save it for roller skating and all that good stuff. What we want to do right now is do something that we regularly do. I want to invite you to stand up and to greet someone around you, to find someone, especially today, branch people, find someone who's here, who's come back, who's from one of those representing churches. Seek them out. Say hello this morning. Let's have a conversation. If you have a Bible, you can turn to James chapter 2. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. So if you're grabbing a Bible from a pew in front of you, be warned. That's the NIV. And I'm going to be reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation. So if you're a phony, by that I mean you read the Bible on your phone, you can easily figure that out. Came up with that one right now. So we're in the book of James, and James is a book of the Bible focused on life here and now. You know, if you're looking for a portion of the scriptures that speaks to our day-to-day existence, that has instructions about everyday moments, if you're looking for a passage, a book that speaks into the things that we wrestle with every day, go to the book of James. Get your tail kicked while you're there, but go to the book of James nonetheless, right? And what we've been doing as we've been walking through this series is finding wisdom for life. Wisdom about how to walk through trials. Wisdom about prayer. Wisdom about our words. Wisdom about relationships and about faith. James is gritty. It is relevant, and it's to the point. Today will be no different. Fair warning to everyone. We're going to read James chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 14. We're going to read all the way down to verse 26 in one beautiful fell swoop and then chat about it for a minute. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, hey, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, oh, hey, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. This is probably one of the more well-known passages in James, maybe in the New Testament. And I think that's in part because Christians have been debating about this passage for centuries. Guys, hundreds and hundreds of years, Christians have been going back and forth trying to determine and agree on what exactly the relationship is between faith and action. It's these two things that have been debated. And there have been large swaths of time throughout history when the church, and by that I mean capital C church, has tended to focus more on action. And then there have been other times in history when the church has tended to focus more on faith. And even today, you find different branches of Christianity accused of only being concerned with action, like the social gospel. Or other branches that are accused of only being concerned about faith, like American evangelicalism. And before you send me an email about how broad those things are that I just said, I understand. I'm painting with very broad strokes just to make this point that the church over time has often tended to lean one way or the other. And we do it too. James knows this. In verse 18, kind of cheekily, he says, now someone may argue some people have faith, others have good deeds. Right? Some people say, hey, it's all about faith. No, it's all about good deeds. I have this. Or no, it's more about this. He says, don't you understand? Abraham's faith and his actions worked together. It's not either or. It's both and. And any time that we lack one or the other, or start leaning one way or the other, our walk with God is incomplete. Take, for example, this imbalance, faith without action. James says that it's useless and dead. Those are not my words. Those are his words, useless and dead. Useless in Greek means lazy. Dead in Greek means dead. Okay? I mean, pretty straight to the point there. Useless and dead, faith without action. There's a brand of Christianity in America today that tends to lean this way, where an individual says, I'm going to grow my faith. I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make sure that my faith is strong. To which I think James would say, amen. Your faith needs to be strong. But faith alone isn't enough. If the only thing you do is hold yourself up and try and build your faith, and you never act that faith out, something is off. See, James says this in chapter 1, slightly different words, but same point. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Faith and action, it's both and. Without one or the other, it's incomplete. So one imbalance is what James seems to go after most, but the other imbalance is equally incomplete. Action without faith. When we are acting without faith, our actions are overwhelmed often and short-lived. Because caring for the widow is hard work. Fighting for racial equality, responding to government corruption, any systemic injustice that we try and stand up against, that is really hard to do. It's also really hard to not rage against the person who cut you off, right? It's also really hard to not gossip about that juicy story floating around the office. It's really hard to be patient with your kids. It's really hard to walk through the fire with a friend instead of running from it. We are to be the voice and the hands and the feet of Jesus, but doing so, in big ways and small, is complex and often difficult, which is why James says in verse 22, faith and action have to work together. They're both needed. We can and we should act. But if you don't believe that there's a God who cares about the injustice more than you do, and that there's a God who's at work to rectify that injustice, to bring healing, to offer renewal, again, our actions will probably soon feel overwhelming and be short-lived. In chapter 1, James reminds us of this. He says, "The God is the giver of every good and perfect gift." In other words, God is the source of our strength to act. God is the refueler of our hope when we look around and wonder if our actions are doing any good. God is the giver of wisdom when we're not sure what actions to take. And God is the relentless giver of love who never leaves us, even if our faith runs low, and even if we can't act. It's both and, faith and action. So let me ask you this. Where are you this morning? Are you leaning one way or the other? I know that I have leaned both ways over the course of my life, for sure. There have been times when I've been acting, doing lots of good, and then I get totally overwhelmed. I hit the wall, and it's only when I've hit the wall that I realize I've been doing this all by myself. I've been acting, not with God, but without God, and it's only been action. And then there have been other times when I've been down on my knees, just trying to grow in my faith, which is good. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But as I survey my life, there's little action coming from that faith. So are you leaning one way or another? Do you tend to lean one way or another? Where are you? I want you to hold on to that question, because in a few minutes, you and I will have the chance to respond in a number of ways. But I want you to just hold it for now. And I'm going to transition into something that at first might feel completely disconnected from this conversation in James. I'm going to shift to the branch's 2016 strategic plan. Right? Yeah, awesome, right? But you're like, hold on, why? Why are we talking about that? And what does that have to do with this? I'm going to share with you where we believe God is leading us in this next year to focus our energy and our resources. I can tell you, though, nothing on this strategic plan will actually happen if you and I are not holding faith in action. We will need both. I will need it. You will need it. We will need to be people who trust in a God who is at work all around us and who step out to join that God in that work, both faith and action. So hold on to that question for yourself. It matters to this crazy thing called a strategic plan. You know what a strategic plan is? Simply a way of trying to nail down where a group of people, an organization, a company, a church is going to spend its energy and its time. And what I'm going to do today is give us like the 30,000 foot view level of it. We're going to fly right through it really quickly. And for the details, I'm going to trust and ask two things of you. Number one, that on your way out the door, you would pick up a printed copy of our strategic plan and you would read it. Would you do that? We would be grateful if you would. And the second thing is, and for those of you who live long distances from here or who are not a normal part of the branch, you get a pass on the second one. But if you're a branch person, I want to ask you to commit to come back for the next 4 weeks. Because every Sunday over the next month, we're going to talk more in detail about how you and I can actually step into making this happen. All right? So today it's a 30,000 foot view. Next few weeks, we'll get into it a little bit more. We've been listening for what God wants us to do for 6 months. It's a long time. And what we feel like now is that we're at a moment where God has said, all right, it's time to act. It's time to move, branch. It's time to move. And for us, it's going to begin around our vision statement. This isn't quite our vision statement, and I'd love to see if there are any volunteers who happens to know it. We probably don't talk about it enough around here, but our vision statement, what we say that we are, is a community united with God in the renewal of all things through Christ. So our vision is to be a part of the renewal that God is doing in our lives and in our cities and in our world. That's our heartbeat. And you may be saying, that's a ridiculously huge vision. And we say, yes, it is. But we want a vision that is so big that the only way it could actually happen is if God is in it. We don't want a little manageable, easy to check off vision. We want to be a part of something that only can happen if God is right in the middle. And this would count, yes? This would count. So everything comes around this for us. It always has, and it will continue. We want to be a part of renewal. To do that, we feel like God has been saying that we're to focus on four things. Doesn't mean that we're supposed to stop doing everything else, but these four things are supposed to get special attention. Joining in God's redemptive work, offering lavish hospitality and care, transforming the next generation, and releasing and equipping people. Again, this is the 30,000-foot view, so you're going to want all the details, and I'm not going to give them to you today, and that may bother you, but you're going to have to come back. It's like the only way. All right, so let me talk about this really briefly. God is always at work, regardless of what we're doing. What we want to do, though, is join in that work. And we've been feeling like God has been saying to us that there are some concrete steps for us to take in this next year to do that. Some of them have already started to happen. Like, take for example, the birthing of a dream around something called beer and hymns, right? That's not something that our steward team sat around and thought, we should do beer and hymns. Yeah, let's find somebody to do that. That was a dream that God put in someone else here at the branch. Someone else's, lots of people, there were multiple people. And they've been moving on it. Create is coming back. After 3 years off, it will be back this summer. And that's not because I thought one day, hey, you know what? No, it's because God ignited a fire in three people here at the branch and said, pursue that. It's time to go after that again. So there's some concrete things that we're going to do. Those are just a couple of the examples. To join in the redemptive work of God. Number two, offering lavish hospitality and care. Rodrigo's here today. Hey, buddy. How are you? Rodrigo with Alas. And he texted me last night, said, hey, tomorrow's the birthday, right? Planning on being there? I said, yep, sure is. He texted me back and said, see you then, 10-15 challenge. I was like, even Rodrigo knows about the 10-15 challenge. That's amazing, you know? Right? We've been working on hospitality. And I am so, like, proud, can I say that? Like, so grateful for the way that the branch has responded to that. But it feels like God is saying to us that there's more to do. That's a good first step, but there's more for us to help welcome people in. And the reason why we feel like this is kind of rising to the surface as something to focus on is because hospitality matters to God. God is the most hospitable being ever, who is always welcoming and always receiving people. Okay? We want to reflect God's hospitality to the world. But the other reason it's rising to the top is because we know that if we as a family are to grow, this will be critical. And we want to grow. Maybe words you've never heard me say. Because, you know, we've never been a church laser focused on growth. Hey, we're going to grow and grow and grow. That's not us. It probably never will be. But over the last 3 weeks, this has just been like my tangible example. As the branch has responded to people who've been affected by Sasha's suicide, and I've watched the way this church has been a beacon of light to the world, to many in this world who want nothing to do with church but are looking at us and going, what is that place? I think to myself, there are lots of people in this world who need what the branch has to give. And so we want to grow our family, not so that we can have a bigger budget or a bigger bill. We want to grow because we believe that God is doing something in us, and we want people to come and join in that. So we're going to focus on hospitality. We're going to transform the next generation. We're going to keep working on that. This is not new. But there's special attention we're going to give to it this year as we hire a branch kids director, as we keep investing in leaders of branch students. This is going to be something that will have our attention in the next 12 months. And then releasing and equipping people, again, not new, but we're going to have a small group series this spring and this fall. Just as this is one example of getting into the weeds. Spring this fall, short-term small groups that you can join that will equip and release you to do the work of whatever it is that God's calling you to do. So here's the things that we're going to pay attention to in this next year. And they may change. We may get to June and realize, oh, well, actually. And so we'll change if we need to change. But at this moment, this is where we're headed and what we're going to do. Again, I'm going to trust that you're going to grab a strategic plan and that you will be here at 10:15 for the next couple of weeks, and then we're changing worship time. So let's not go into that. All right. Faith in action. Here's how we're going to respond. I want to invite you to respond this morning. Got that question? Do I lean one way or the other? Am I holding both? All right. Three things you can do today to respond. One would be to come over here, and in this bowl you will find cut up pieces of a branch. Oh, how clever, right? And what you can do on this is with a Sharpie, write faith in action. Write them on the same side, write one word on each side. We don't care how you do this. The idea is that you would take this home and you would put it somewhere where you're going to see it. On your bathroom counter, in your cup holder of your car, on your desk at work, somewhere where you will see it regularly and be reminded that we are to be people of both faith and action. That's a simple one you can do today if you want to respond. Over here is communion. There won't be anyone here serving it. You're just welcome to come and tear off a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. And in doing so, be reminded of a God who is with us always. As we step out in faith, and as we try to act, God is with us. Communion reminds us of that. And then back there, between the two dancing adults on that board, it's that beautiful board and the decal, and then there's a table next to it with some yellow leaves. What we would love to do is have you write a prayer on a leaf and tape it to that board. And that board is going to become our communal prayer for this next year. So we'd love for you to have your prayer go something like this. In this next year, God, I pray that you'll help me connect. You'll give me a vision. You'll show me what it could be. You could write anything. That you'll give me hope. That you'll heal a hurt. That you could write anything you want. But then we would put them up there. And again, they would be our communal prayer for this next year. Okay? We would invite all of you to participate in these. This isn't just for branch people. This is for everybody here today. We'd love for you to join us. And we're going to have about 7 minutes or so for you to wander around the room, maybe longer if you need it, to wander around, do those three things, do one of them, do two of them. It's totally up to you. And then we'll finish with a song and a blessing. Sound good? I'm going to pray for this time that God would use it for our good. And then at amen, you're free to move. All right? Let's pray. God, we invite you into our hearts and minds right now. You are here. Would we be open and receptive to you as we think about the prayers that we might have for the branch this next year and our place in it? As we think about faith in action, as we share the bread and the cup, would you be moving among us and would we be aware and open to your movement? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it happen.